Waltz Tango Foxtrot. Written by Jalendra and Lady of Rosefire. Produced by Opalsong. Read by
Revolutionary Joe, as Ye Bai Yi.
Riona, as News Headlines 1.
CC Rambles, as News Headlines 2.
Rena Jenkins, as Dapusa.
Night Tracer, as Zhou Zixu.
Flora Shah, as Wen Kasing.
Is Sweden, as Gu Xiang.
Litra, as Zhou Wenning.
Nev underscore Longbottom, as Zhang Chengling.
Blue Geeky M, as Luo Fumong and Extra Voices.
Black Glass, as Liu Tianqiao, plus Extra Voices.
Chao Lohan, read by Rose.
God of Laundry Baskets, as Zhao Jing, and Extra Voices.
Mo on Raccoon, as Han Yin, and Extra Voices.
And Opalsong, as Shia R. Fandom, Word of Honor. Rating, Explicit. Relationship, Shia Wang, Yu Bai Yi. And Dupusa and Shia Wang. Also tagged for Ballroom Dancing, Alternate Universe Modern Setting, Age Difference, Drinking, Dancing, Past Abuse, Implied Past Rong Cheng Ching, Ye Bai Yi, Implied Past Xia Wang, Zhao Jing, Social Media, Competition, Oral Sex, Fraudage, First Time Topping, Multiple Voices, Music, and Sound Effects. Summary. Shia R goes viral dancing a drunken tango with a stranger. It's probably Wen Kaxing's fault. The competitive ballroom AU you didn't know you needed.
I like when you get mad. I guess I'm pretty glad that you're alone.
White shirt. Now bet my bloody no sleeping. You're on your tippy toes creeping around like no one knows. Think you're so criminal. Bruises on both my knees, but you don't say thank you or please. I do what I want when I'm wanting to. My soul so cynical. So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so buff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Chapter 1. Wear That Dress Tonight.
Tai Lake Pharmaceuticals CEO arrested. Award-winning humanitarian and entrepreneur Zhao Jing stands accused of embezzlement, tax fraud, and insider trading.
Chao Xing investigation unearths massive corruption in pharmaceutical industry.
From secret deals to sacrilege, seven new Zhao Jing accusers. New charges laid against the embattled CEO include bribery, racketeering, and sexual abuse.
Can Tai Lake survive Chao Tiang's downfall?
Zhao Jing accuser reveals harassment, retaliation.
Divorce suit reveals tax fraud, corruption in Tao Xiang case. Investigators now reveal it was all the messy split between the CEO and his wife that led them to unearth his crimes.
Paradise Lost, Ex-wife brands Zhao Ting a sex creep in furious fight.
How a feel-good adoption story revealed child abuse nightmare. Chao Xiang's highly publicized adoption of Chinese-born orphans was heartwarming, but new revelations suggest a sinister motive behind the humanitarian tale.
Tai Lake's Zhao Jing, leader of sex cult, victim tells all. Zhao Jing's second son and pro-am ballroom competitor gives harrowing confession.
Police probe ignored testimony of Chao Qing's victims. Report.
Emails show how Zhao Jing stymied corruption probe.
We haven't slept in the same room in years, Li Yao tells story.
Terrible secret. Zhao Jing assistant reveals all.
Disturbing. Chao Tiang strapped adopted sons to bed for exorcisms. Youngest son of CEO reveals how Yi Fu tortured his children.
Xia Er's glass hits the opposite wall and explodes into a satisfying spray of shards. Well, it could be worse, Dupusa scrolls down another post. They could be calling you survivors. At least they're being honest about the shit they're trying to stir. Fuck you. Fuck me yourself and clean up that glass. The old rhythm doesn't soothe him. Xia Er pushes himself off Dupusa's hot pink fainting couch and paces around the room. Come on, Xia Xia, Dupusa coaxes. It's not that bad. They didn't even get your name right in half of these. They got my picture, Xia Er fumes. He glares towards the window. Firmly closed, curtains drawn to keep the heat out, while the ancient air conditioner rattles away. How did they even know I existed? It's all about the divorce case, you know that. Dupusa rattles a glass full of melting ice. Come on, sit down, have a drink. He takes the glass, but he doesn't sit down. It's gin and lime and too much sugar syrup, too sweet for his taste. He drinks it anyway, throat bobbing as the liquor burns from throat to stomach. There's a cherry in it, too. Xia Er watches it float around like an undersized eyeball with a swirl of liquid in the glass. The fuck did I ever do to her? Dupusa does not dignify that with a comment. It's a good picture, too. Very widow chic. He'd been in black, as usual, with his biggest shades because he'd been very hungover. The only mercy was that the lighting had been halfway decent, and he'd escaped in the back of Tian Luo Han's car before the vultures had managed to surround him. Just thank your lucky stars it happened here, Dupusa says, stretching out on her couch with the manner of a cat leisurely watching birds. Imagine if this had all blown up while you were in London. Xia Er takes a moment to recall how thickly the tabloid paparazzi had swarmed around Zhao Jing, back when there hadn't been any scandal at all, hounding them from Heathrow to the hotel, and shudders delicately. Fucking leeches, he mutters, plucks the cherry from the glass and crushes it between his teeth, swallowing the burst of gin-soaked juice. Dupusa perks up. I know what we could do. She has her scheming voice on. That's never a good sign. Not that he doesn't enjoy it, but the last time he went along with one of her plans, there had been shit on Instagram and TikTok, and Yifu had... But Yifu isn't here now. Xia Er raises a brow at her. Why don't we go to that thing Crazy Old Wen is hosting and steal his party At least then we'll be hot and sweaty for a good reason. Xiar rolls the idea around, takes the last swig of his drink, then sets the glass back on the table. Why not? You can give me back that shirt I left here. I'm not going in this. No, Xiaxia, I look so much better in that shirt than you do. Dupusa pouts at him, then brightens. What if I put you in one of my dresses? Then the paps won't notice you. Or if they do, it'll be one hell of a headline. By the time they arrive at Wang Kaxing's house, Xiar is pleasantly buzzed, but still steady on his feet. And he does turn heads. They both do. He'd borrowed from Dupusa's closet, after all. Wet look, clingy leggings, and a glittery little handkerchief of a top, because the idea of going out in sleeves had been intolerable. The cut leaves a good deal of his back bare as well, and the night air against his sweaty spine is a welcome relief. He refuses to call it a dress. Xiar thinks, personally, that dress has a minimum length requirement when one is outside of a competition, and this thing does not meet it. Then again, neither does Dupusa's. She strides forward anyway, glittering in rhinestone fishnets with her tattoo on full display, moving with the sort of confidence one can only get when very familiar with exactly how everything you were wearing could and couldn't come off. Xiar is blessed with outstanding balance and excellent coordination, even in the ridiculous knockoff Jimmy Choo's he'd raided from Dupusa's closet pinching at his toes. Even so, he's in awe of Dupusa's ability to undulate down the street without so much as flashing her knickers. Ballroom certainly has a lot to learn from burlesque. The thought makes him cringe, but only a little. It's not like Yifu's around to scold him now. Wang Kaxing holds his parties at an elderly townhouse in Carlton. How he came into it is a mystery. It must be worth a cool $2 million these days. But the rumor mill likes to put forward theories. Inherited from ancestors who came over from the gold rush and struck it big is popular lately. When Xiar first met him, they said Wang Kaxing had murdered the mob boss who used to live there and moved in to make burying the body in the garden more convenient. It's stately on the outside, with ivory paint peeling just enough to lend it an air of historical weight. But when the Art Nouveau glass front door opens, the inside stretches out in a mishmash of drag show and gym bro. Wang Kaxing's horrible boyfriend greets them at the threshold, eyes sweeping over the pair of them with open appreciation. Being looked at by Zhou Sushu is always flattering, and at least for tonight, that alone makes up for his terrible personality. Xiar nods to him, allows himself to turn over the memory of that time he almost got a private show at one of these things, then walks inside without a word. Dupusa preens and runs her fingers along Zhou Sushu's jaw, but even she doesn't dare scratch the paint, so to speak. There's music playing, thumping through the old walls. Xiar picks up the rhythm on instinct. 1 and 2, 3 and 4. A little hitch up under the ribs that Xiar has always found unpleasant. The snap of the hips not worth the way learning samba had felt like dry heaving. He follows it anyway. The shoes are too stiff to do it well, but he doesn't give a shit. There's a drink in his hand by the time he passes the first doorway. Here, the music is louder, thudding in his pulse. Xiar closes his eyes and tilts his head back as he drains his glass. He's going to have to tell Dupusa she was right to bring him out. The ostensible dining room has had the furniture removed and is now, apparently, the dance floor. Queens and b-boys and scene kids all dissolving into a tangle of sweaty bodies. Xiar slides into it, easy as a scalpel, following the beat even though he doesn't know the song. A remix of a remix of a Gutiérrez flute cover of a mid-90s pop song, if he knows Wang Kaxing's taste. One song flows into another. Whomever has control of the playlist has decent musical sense. There's no jarring, no gaps, nothing to make Shiar surface until he's sweat slick and numb. Until some idiot sees him and shouts over the music, "Hey, aren't you that guy who..." Shiar refrains from punching him, partly because he has a cup in his hand, mostly because if he did, he'd have to deal with Zhou Zixu, and Zhou Zixu could probably snap him in half. He does throw the remainder of his drink into the asshole's face before he pushes out of the room and deeper into the house, out and through until he finds what would be open air if there weren't the ever-present smoke haze that makes summer in Melbourne so fucking delightful. It's almost tolerable here, though, where the smokers are forming up in little packs, passing lighters back and forth, the neon gleam of the occasional vape pouring out candy-scented fog to mingle with tobacco. The descending haze meets the rising exhale. Air churns and paints the strings of fairy lights in impressionist whirls. A Van Gogh night. Shiar stopped counting his drinks somewhere after the third one Dupuisa pushed into his sweaty hand. This was, perhaps, a mistake. He must be fairly far gone if he's busting out the art metaphors. Where the fuck does Wen Kaxing keep the water around here? It's a nice garden, though. Huge, actually, for Melbourne. Almost as big as the garden on Yifu's house in Malvern. Not as big as the one at the Turak house. Shiar lets himself drift and metabolize some of the booze or whatever, and mostly tries not to sprain an ankle walking on the quaint little brick-laid path some fucker thought was a good idea. He gives a little finger wave to Qian Lohan, who nods at him before turning back to her circle of terrifyingly beefy women. He nearly trips over a flamingo-shaped lawn ornament and bursts into giggles at the thought of Wen Kaxing playing house before it goes sour in the pit of his stomach, and he has to stop and swear and try not to burst into tears instead. He runs a thumb under either eye to check his eyeliner, but the setting spray holds firm, and his hand comes away clean. The voices out here aren't any quieter than the ones inside, but the way they diffuse into the air is easier to bear. Someone set up a folding table with a huge, clear plastic vat of water on it, weeping so much condensation it drips and puddles on the cheap white poly tabletop. Shiar squats down and feels around under the table until he finds a sheath of slightly squashed plastic cups and fishes one out of the end. He's thirsty enough to make the cold, probably BPA-flavored water taste ambrosial. He downs three cups faster than he should, has to stop when it sloshes unpleasantly in his belly. If he'd known his life was going to implode this spectacularly, he would have taken more care to have a good meal first. Ah, well. He casts around for familiar faces and sees Wen Kaxing leaning on the back fence, gesturing with a cigarette holder. Aside from that affectation, he looks almost like a normal human person, at least at a distance. He's engaged in a noisy argument with a man in mom jeans and a tank top with the deepest cuts Shiar's ever seen outside of TikTok thirst traps. So deep, he's in even more danger of a nip slip than Shiar is. "I shouldn't let her into my studio," the man says. "You shouldn't let her into my studio. Do you know how much those mirrors cost?" The door bangs open and shut behind him. Shiar looks back over his shoulder and finds Dupuisa strolling down the path towards him, all swinging hips and smirking swagger. "I know how to manage my own partner, you old monster," Wen Kaxing snaps back in the bitchiest rapid-fire Cantonese Shiar's ever heard. He can barely keep up. "I'm not throwing her anywhere." "Oh, sure," the old monster replies in a drawl sarcastic enough to salt the rim of a margarita glass. "You've never dropped anyone in your life, you arrogant brat. You'll do one lift. Next thing you know, there goes $400 of glass and a trip to the emergency room." "Who made you the expert anyway? Didn't you follow your whole career? Ha! I could lead a drunk, blindfolded stranger right here. Oh, really? Wang Kaxing purrs. He looks up. Xiar has just enough time to experience a complete and stunning wave of regret before Wang Kaxing's gaze locks on him and narrows. He looks like a fucking vampire all in red. Hey, you! You dance? Wang Kaxing calls in English. Xiar gives him his flattest, most poisonous stare. Are you fucking serious? He can tell when Wang Kaxing recognizes him. His eyes widen for half a second, and then he gestures with the cigarette holder, half mockery and half apology. Right, of course, you're perfect. He turns back to the man in the appalling jeans, switching languages as easily as a change of weight, without even a trip of the tongue. I'm feeling generous, you old ghoul. You get someone who can actually tango. Dupusa sidles up and knocks her shoulder against his. Xiar knocks back. I haven't actually agreed to this, he points out, tipping his chin against Wang Kaxing's scrutiny. Cantonese feels odd after so long spent carefully shaping his mouth around Mandarin for Yifu's approval. But it comes. Why not? Wang Kaxing shoots back. He smiles with too many teeth. The old monster, he isn't actually that old, mid-30s, maybe 40 at the most, looks him over. What an asshole. Wanna help me shut him up? Xiar has had worst reasons. I'll help, Xiar says. International? The old monster snorts. Does this look like a fucking ballroom to you? Argentine. Careful, you nasty goat, Wang Kaxing taunts. This one's mean. A real scorpion. He laughs as though he's said something very clever. Instead of the joke literally everyone who sees Xiar's name written in Hanzi makes. Fuck off, the old monster says, rolling his eyes. Have your trophy wife put on some decent music if you want to stay. Wang Kaxing grins and pulls out his phone. Xiar is too drunk for this, but fuck it. And fuck Wang Kaxing too. And fuck everyone else for that matter. He kicks off his shoes and walks forward onto the grass. It's cold under his feet, but not yet dewy. He's danced on worse. He lets himself be pulled into frame, chest to chest, hip to hip, one solid thigh slotted between his. The old monster's hand on his back is large and warm, even with how fucking hot Xiar is already. He doesn't know whose sweat that is on his spine. He doesn't care. Wait! Dupusa skitters up to them, stumbling as her heels sink into the earth. Shit, fuck, here. She lifts a hand and allows a glittering strip of fabric to fall from her fingers. It looks like something stolen from a Kylie Minaj costume. Blindfold. Xiar bows his head and closes his eyes. Dupusa cackles to herself as she knots the fabric around his head, arranging his braids to fall neatly but ignoring the way the sequins dig into his skin. Xiar ignores it too, straightens when her hands fall away. Ready? The old monster asks. Pressed against him like this, Xiar can feel his ribcage vibrate with the words, soft, warm breath, smelling of cigarettes and beer. When you are, he says. It starts with piano. Distinctive. Quick. Under Xiar's hands, the old monster's ribs fall on a sharp huff. Angry or amused, Xiar can't tell. Seriously? From the fence, Wang Kaxing laughs. Xiar turns his head to speak directly into his partner's ear. Put up or shut up. Another huff. This one definitely amused. All right, brat. Showtime. They shift, a slow rock and change of weight, until Xiar has his left foot free. Because the Argentine tango, basic, breaks all rules of common decency. They do one, forward, slide, back, cross, the grass bending under Shiar's feet, heel to toe, walking carefully, like a cat in a belled collar trying not to jingle. A step, a change of weight. Without his eyes, Shiar has to rely on what his skin tells him, the movement of air, his partner's hands, and then the music picks up. They step together. Shiar moves back, back, then hooks his leg, flicking his foot up the inside of the old monster's calf. There's a reply, a hook, a turn, space between their legs. He stays steady, twists into it, and drags the arch of his right foot up to his left knee, waits for the push to tell him to come back down. Cross, step, cross. You're thinking too much, the old monster says, and pulls them into a quick turn that makes Shiar's head spin. Then Corte, the form of it so familiar, Shiar could do it in his sleep. Right shoulder lifted, right side forward, left leg stretched out back, right as the gravely, "You don't have to wear that dress tonight," reverberates across the lawn. They move again, slow rotations, drawing figures through the grass. Shiar can't see the people around them, but he can hear them. Somewhere, Dupuisa cheers. Her voice isn't the only one, and maybe Shiar should be more worried about being watched. But he's loose and dizzy from the heat and the alcohol, and the old monster's hands are almost reassuring, easy for him to fall into. He adds a flourish, then another. They would look better with a longer skirt than he's wearing, and feels a low huff of amusement from his partner. "What?" he asks. "Almost had you for a second." "Please." Shiar scoffs and drags his ankle up the old monster's thigh, denim rasping against faux leather. There's a kick and a jump. Shiar steps neatly over, past his partner's legs before they turn, and he can't move his right foot anymore. He almost yanks it free and knees the old monster. Almost. Instead, he leans in, lets the bastard keep him steady, and stretches his other leg up until the crowd whoops, and he's maybe 2 inches from bumping his shin on his partner's shoulder blade. The old monster takes a half step and spins him, fast and smooth, back to chest, their clasped hands on Shiar's hip and his partner's other hand curled into the inside of his thigh. He moves Shiar like a puppet, takes his center of gravity and rocks back until Shiar hangs almost in a split, with his right foot on the grass and his left leg hooked behind his partner's waist. Shiar holds his breath and waits to be dropped. The grass is soft, at least, and he's drunk enough that he probably won't tense up and tear something. Instead, Shiar's feet leave the ground, and for a moment, he flies. He laughs, can't help it, giddy, delirious giggles rising out of him like bubbles from champagne, as the old monster lifts him, folds him backwards over his shoulder, as if Shiar weighs nothing at all. They spin together, Shiar flexing his legs around the curve of his partner's torso, one hand pressed to the center of his back. The old monster has some serious muscle under the hideous shirt, and by the time his feet hit the ground again, as the music swells to the climax, then fades, his brain is finally, mercifully quiet. 4, almost 5, minutes is a long time to dance with one person. Shiar stands panting at the end of it, sweating and dizzy and happy, holding on to the old monster's arms while he waits for his head to stop spinning. His partner tugs Dupuisa's borrowed dress back down around his hips. Shiar sways with even that light pressure, then reaches up and tugs the blindfold off. There's applause. He likes applause, really, but he's a bit busy at the moment. He has to blink a few times before his partner's face resolves into something with the correct number of eyes and noses. He's handsome, actually, the stern lines of his face softened by the strands of hair escaping his man bun. There's a streak of gray running back from the corner of his hairline, too ragged to be anything but natural. An introduction might be in order, now that he spent 5 minutes all but straddling the man's thigh. Xia Ar. Yu Baiyi. The name is familiar, but leaving through his mental Rolodex of Yifu's acquaintances produces nothing. Perhaps it's something he heard at the studio? Yu Baiyi has to be a professional to dance like that. He's smiling, he realizes. Too sweet, too shy, too exposed, and arranges his face into something a little less vulnerable. I think I need another drink after that, he says, and Dupusa, bless her, is already there, taking his elbow in one hand. Her other has two half-full plastic cups and her phone in it, each wedged between two fingers. Come along, my precious sparkle princess, she coos. Xia'er rolls his eyes and goes. He only shivers a little bit when Yu Baiyi's hands slip away from his arms. He wakes at who the fuck knows in Dupusa's mercifully windowless bathroom with his cheek pressed against the cool inside of the bathtub. His mouth tastes like death, but there's nothing in his hair, so fine, sure. Groaning, he pushes himself up on shaky arms. Dupusa has reclaimed her dress at some point, apparently, probably before stashing him in the bathtub. His skin sticks unpleasantly to the porcelain. He peels himself off of it and out of his leggings without fully opening his eyes or turning on a light. Even the little motion-activated nightlight in the wall is more than he wants to look at right now. He goes through washing out his mouth and double-checking his hair by feel, then turns on the shower. Afternoon, sleepy, Dupusa calls. Panadol's in the cabinet. Then I have to show you something. You can wait 5 minutes, he rasps, then clears his throat and tries again. 5 minutes. Make me a smoothie. Sure, baby, she laughs. She's right outside the door from the sound of it. You know, Cinderella's godmother didn't have to scrape her off the floor the next morning. Xia'er steps into the shower while it's still cold. Who the fuck are you calling Cinderella? Dupusa doesn't respond except to laugh at him. The drumming of the water drowns out the awful screech of Dupusa's blender. Hopefully the smoothie he asked for, and the shower itself helps him feel slightly closer to human. He tilts his face up into the spray and opens his mouth wide, lets the cold water scour away whatever was in there last night. As it starts to warm, he reaches for Dupusa's fanciest shampoo. He can't manage more than a perfunctory sort of scrubbing, but he gets the smell of smoke out of his hair, and an inspection of his skin reveals no bruises or scrapes of unknown origin. He gets out, wraps his hair up in one towel, and uses another to dry himself off, a third to wrap around his hips once he's ready to venture out into Dupusa's apartment. The kitchen is this awful little strip of space blocking the hall, a stove on one side and a bench, on the other, a fridge. Dupusa hands him the smoothie, then follows him back to her couch. She takes the chair, legs slung over one of the arms, and he sprawls out on the eye-smartingly pink poly velvet and sticks the straw in his mouth. So? He gives her a look. So? Dupusa says, and then thrusts her phone at him. You went viral! Xia'er nearly drops the smoothie. He manages to save it and stares at her, wide-eyed, ignoring the phone. Yifu... God, no, not that old bat. She shakes her phone at him impatiently. Here, look. Xia'er snatches the phone out of her hand and looks. It's a YouTube video. Blurry, not quite enough light. And the sound quality is appalling. Of a couple dancing a reasonably competent Argentine tango barefoot in someone's garden. Someone extremely overenthusiastic has titled it Sanbai Cup winner, Zhao Xia'er, tangos with former world champion Yu Baiyi, blindfolded.
A video on YouTube titled Sanbai Cup winner Zhao Xi tangos with former world. It is halfway through and paused on a stunning picture of Jiar blindfolded in a deep, almost split. Yibai is supporting him perfectly. They are outside and barefoot and seem to glow in the soft light. The video was posted 10 hours ago and already has 2.1 million views. It has 299k likes, 3.2k dislikes. It is tagged hashtag tango, hashtag ballroom, hashtag yibai, hashtag zhaoxia.
For fuck's sake, Xia R says, shoving the phone back at Dupusa. Then he stops and looks at the phone again. Wait, he's a world champion? Yibai, Dupusa says slowly. Owns Changming Studio, Yibai. Made queer ballroom mainstream, Yibai. You didn't recognize him? Obviously no. Xia R can't tear his eyes away from the screen. Even drunk as a skunk and blindfolded to boot, he looks good. Yibai clearly helps with that. The lousy quality can't hide the power in each movement, the way his arms flex in the moment before he lifts Xia R is distracting. Even when the video's over, cutting out as they land the lift and the crowd around them cheers loud enough to make the phone speaker rebel, Xia R doesn't want to look away. He reads the comments. He knows better than to read the comments, but he reads them anyway, and some of them are, hey, aren't you that guy, flavored. Some of them make his blood boil. Some...
3,183 comments. Add a public comment.
Sin Song, 5 minutes ago. Sweaty red face with tongue out emoji times three. Oh my god, that lift.
Yue Fenger, 31 minutes ago. This is what happens at Wen Kuxing's parties? Sign me the fuck up.
Skies out, thighs out. 1 hour ago. I'd say I want to get between them, but who could break that up?
Whip to foodie. 1 hour ago. Face with open mouth emoji. Is this a new partnership?
Moondaughter, 42 minutes ago. Please, 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 new partnership, please. I need something to follow to give me something to do with my life.
Wu Chan Clan, 2 hours ago. Is Ye Bai Yi coming out of retirement?
Well, Xia R says. Well. He hands Dupusa her phone back and twists on the couch, worming his way horizontal with his head propped up on one arm and his legs folded and crammed up against the other. That was fun. It's too bad. Too bad? Dupusa echoes. She pushes the straw in and out of her own smoothie, a hideous orange with passion fruit seeds floating through it like fat flies. That we're both retired, Xia R says. Dupusa plucks the straw from her smoothie and makes a great show of licking it clean. Then she flings it at Xia R. He bats it out of the air before it can smack against his forehead. Since when are you retired? Since my partner, he spits the word out like a mouthful of nails, got arrested. For the least of the things he had done, arguably. I have no routines, no rehearsal space. I don't even have my fucking shoes. He has money because he's been clever with the allowance and what he's earned. But trying to replace everything he's lost will burn through it before he can even blink. I don't have a partner. It says here that you do. Don't be stupid. Who's stupid? She shoots back, then smiles, bright and brilliant, and takes her phone back. Give me 10 minutes, and I can have Yu Guga's number for you, she sings. I just have to text Qian Chao. Oh, if Qian Chao knows him, then it must be fine. Xia rolls onto his belly and drinks his smoothie, Strawberry, because Dupuisa feels bad for him. Banana, enough to be noticeable, because she also thinks he's being a little bitch. He is being a bitch. He's self-aware enough to know that. He's being difficult and snappish and mean because, fuck, he's right, isn't he? He has nothing. He can't even go home. Ifu's big Turok house with the manicured gardens and the tennis courts and the saltwater pool is a crime scene now. And the apartment he got for Shia R in the East End is being repossessed. The bank wouldn't even let him in to pack a bag. Dupuisa sighs and ruffles his hair. I'll text her, she decides. You can let me know when you're done sulking. Shia R sucks on his smoothie and thinks. All right. Pretend, for a moment, that this isn't irredeemable. He's a planner. What's the plan? First order of business is... Well, Dupuisa might have that under control, judging by the speed of her thumbs as she types. The next thing after that... The first thing, actually, since he'll have to do it even if Dupuisa's efforts fall through, is to get his shit back. He has people he can call, too. He has favors to cash in. He can bat his eyes and, ugh, look hopeful and unthreatening. He needs his dance shoes back so acutely they might as well be his feet. Shiar chews on an annoying bit of fruit Dupuisa's blender didn't catch. He's not ready to retire. He's 20. Who the fuck retires at 20? And he looked good in that video. Even drunk. Even pissed off and shaky and dancing with a stranger without being able to see what he was doing with his legs. They looked good. He remembers the feeling of being moved like that. The way Ye Baiyi lifted him. Not even a moment of caution. No fear at all that Ye Baiyi wouldn't be able to hold him. Ifu always disdained that sort of thing. He always said it was impossible, that Chia R was too tall and too heavy by the time he was 16. He said flashy tricks were for people who couldn't make more elegant pieces work. Fuck Ifu. Chia R wants to fly again. He finds the video on Dupuisa's Twitter and retweets it. Adds scorpion emoji, crown emoji, as a caption. Then he rolls off the couch and onto his feet. All right, what does Qianqiao have?